Welcome to the New Breed Christian Community, where we're dedicated to deepening your spiritual walk and empowering you to live in the fullness of Christ. Whether you're joining us for the first time or you're a regular part of our community, we're so glad you're here. Get ready for an inspiring session as we dive into the Word of God together, growing stronger in faith and closer to our Savior. Let's begin this journey of transformation and spiritual maturity as we get into the Word of God by our lead steward.
Today I want to share what I've titled Our Eternal Hope.
Glory!
It's a part of the gospel that I feel has not been emphasized enough. There are three that abided forever. You see this in 1 Corinthians 13, the last verse. It says, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of all these three is love. And of course, it has to be love because God is love, right? In fact, the Bible says love is the bond of perfection. Faith, hope, and love. In fact, you can summarize Christianity into those three words. Faith, hope, and love. It says, now abideth faith, hope, you know, charity. If you have New King James, charity sounds like a sister's name in church. Now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, if you ask Christians which of these three to talk about, they will easily start with faith. Are you with me? They will have enough things to say about faith, and they will go to love. They will have a lot of things to say about love. But when you ask them about hope, they may be lost. In fact, some even think hope is a bad thing. Say, no, hope is not faith. Are you with me? But you will see that hope is a very important part of our gospel. 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 19. Now, like I said, it's Bible study, so prepare for a long ride. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. It says, if in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. It says, if in this life we have hope in Christ. That means, first of all, in this life, there is a hope we have in Christ. Are you getting me? There is what we can expect to see in this life because we are in Christ. Are you with me? He says, but if that hope is in this life alone, we are of all men most miserable. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 26. Media, you'll be fast today. Colossians 1 verse 26 to 27. He says, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So he says that there is something God has been trying to say in many ages and many generations, but now has been made manifest to the saints of God. Are you following this? This is very important too. You need to understand that, you know, Christians of our day, we trivialize spiritual things because it looks like everything has been set and done already. You don't know how much anticipation, how much preparation. Are you getting this? How much was done to get it down to you, the way it has come to you? He says, this thing I want to share to you was the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now it has been made manifest to the saints of God. Verse 27. He says, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Read it. What is that mystery? Which is... Oh my God. It says, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. What God has been trying to do all this age is to put Christ into men. What they have been trying to do from ages past. But finally it has been done, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It means, if Christ is in you, no matter how difficult it looks right now, there is a hope of glory to come. Are you getting this? So when three people are crying, say, come. Are you a Christian? No. Okay, you can cry. You, are you a Christian? No, say, no, I'm a Buddhist. Okay, you can keep on crying. You, are you a Christian? Says yes, and you are crying. Christ in you is the hope. That no matter how difficult, no matter how twisted and turned over a thing can be for the child of God with Christ in him, the hope already, the end, we already know the end. Yes, it will be glory. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Ah, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against every demonic force.
Amen.
The word of God goes unhindered.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost ministers the word to the hearts of these people.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So, Christ in me is the hope of glory. However, our hope is not in this life only. Our hope transcends to eternity. And that's why we've called it the eternal hope. So quickly, what is hope? What is hope? Hope means expectation. Something you expect. Hope means what? Expectation. Something you expect. So when we say our eternal hope, we are saying what we expect to see in eternity. When we say our eternal hope, we are saying what we expect to see in eternity. Are you with me? If you are with me, say yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Okay. However, there is a difference between natural human hope and biblical hope. When you are trying to study biblical terms, allow the Bible define it for you. If you go to check a dictionary of what hope it is, you will get a completely different emphasis than what the Bible is trying to say. So I will define natural hope. What is natural hope? Natural hope is a feeling of expectation. It's a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. In other words, it is something you wish for, but you are not sure it will happen. I hope to own Nigeria one day. I don't want to find this trouble. I hope Arsenal will carry the Champions League. Arsenal fans, I'm sorry. I said something on Sunday. I said, my club is Liverpool because God has given them the liver to always pull through. My God. Amen. I hope to go to the sun one day. It's a feeling of expectation and a desire for a particular thing to happen. In other words, you wish for it, but you are not sure it will happen. That's natural hope. That's natural hope. There are some places they hope they have a natural hope that NEPA will bring light. If it happens, my God. In other words, it can be called wishful thinking. And when we say hope of eternal life, many people have that idea, that same idea. They bring the natural idea of hope into biblical hope. So when they say, somebody says, I have the hope of eternal life, they're like, are you sure? I'm a Christian, oh. I know we are a Christian, but only God knows who we make heaven. Only God knows. But biblical hope is different. Now, what is biblical hope? Bible hope is something you are expecting because you know it will happen. So you are hoping for it, but there is assurance in your hope. Are you getting this? Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. Hebrews 6 verse 10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Verse 11, you can read this one with me. Verse 11. "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Now, look at that phrase. Full assurance of hope. In your local balance or the natural way of thinking, assurance and hope should not go together. Assurance and hope should not be in the same sentence. But the Bible is telling you that when it comes to biblical hope, there is something called full assurance. Full assurance of hope. Bible hope has full assurance. After me, full assurance. Now jump to verse 18 of Hebrews 6. Verse 18 of Hebrews 6. I can already feel somebody saying, these scriptures are plenty. Yes, that's the plan. Amen. I hope you came with your notes. Only those who take notes in the things of the kingdom become notable. My God. Are you with me? Hebrews 6 verse 18, it says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Verse 19, now read with me. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Now, look at that again. The hope that we have, because we have come to Christ, is an anchor for our soul. Are you with me?
Yes,
it's an anchor. Just the same way when a ship is losing its grip on the sea, you use an anchor to hold it. If you have the hope of eternal life, there is a way it anchors your soul. And we are going to see it in this Bible study. Many people have lost the anchor of their soul. That's why they act the way they do on the earth. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, now once again, both sure and steadfast. Can we read this verse in NLT? NLT, Hebrews 6 verse 18 in New Living Translation. It says, "So God has given both his promise and his oaths. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie." Are you seeing this? So our hope, is strong and steadfast. We are dealing with somebody that cannot lie. There was a film many years ago, and a guy was talking to God, and he was trying to test God. And he asked God, "How many fingers are on my hand?" And God said, "Six." He was like, "I got you there." Then he went to check, it was six. Let me tell you why, many reasons why God cannot lie. It's not just because it's a moral virtue. If he tries to lie, that lie becomes the new truth. Do you understand that? If he tries to lie, that lie becomes the new truth. He told Abraham, "I have made you a father of many nations." He says, "Let the weak say I am strong." That's how God talks. Are you with me?
Yes,
the one who called those things that be not as though they were. He says, so by these two things is unchangeable. You know, in our everyday expressions, have you seen that scenario where somebody does something or you are trying to find out the truth and the person says, "I swear, this is what happened"? Have you seen something like that before? People still do it today. Say, "Wallahi, I swear." And guess what? God wanted to make us sure of his promises to us. He took an oath.
Now, oh my God. If you read the book of Hebrews, there was nobody for him to swear greater, so he swore by himself. Have you seen that expression in the book of Hebrews? Because of time, we can't look at it. He was trying to make us know how serious and how sure, how steadfast what he has promised in Christ is. He said, okay, I promised you. The promise is already won. What else will I do for you to be sure? He swore. Remember, he did the same thing in Abraham's blessing. He says, I swear in blessing I will bless you. Hey! So he says, so God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable. Can you say after me, it is impossible for God to lie? It says, therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that it lies before us. Verse 19, we'll read this and move on. In the NLT, 1, 2, 3, go. This hope is a 1, 2, 3, go. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Glory! Hey, glory! Tell them, my hope is an anchor.
My hope is
an anchor. So, what is our eternal hope? I like to give definitions so that you understand exactly what we are talking about. Our eternal hope is the steadfast promise that after our lives on earth is done, we will live together with the Lord in eternity forever. Hey, you missed a place to shout a resounding glory.
Glory!
Glory! Our eternal hope is the steadfast promise that after our lives on earth is done, we will live together with the Lord in eternity forever.
Glory!
There is no time. If not, I would have loved to break down how serious this thing is. There is no religion in the world that is not trying to figure this out. Even Greek mythology, they are trying to figure this out. There is no religious practice that is not trying to figure this out. There was a movie that rained many years ago, even if I didn't get to watch it, from people that watched it. Hercules. People are trying to find out what is the way to be sure that after this life is done, we will still count for something. This is serious, so. There is no religion or spiritual practice not trying to figure this out. They will tell you, if you've watched all those Greek movies, they will tell you that, oh, when a person dies, he needs a coin that he will give the ferryman that in the afterlife that will carry him. They are looking for a way. Okay, maybe the coin will appease the ferryman. Are you seeing this? That will carry them to the afterlife. And then, when they cannot figure it out, okay, it should just be if this one has done good, that one will be accepted by some deity. If he has done evil, somehow he will be judged. But how are they sure? How are they sure? How are you sure? How are you sure that's what will happen? Are you getting this? How are you sure that is what will happen? Death is a mystery to men. Many of you have lost loved ones. That one disappears. The same body, you touch the person, no response. That means the person is more than just a body. So where has the person gone? Do you know? How can you be sure? You see, you have to answer that question. Praise the Lord. Our eternal hope is the steadfast promise that after our lives on earth is done, we will live together with the Lord in eternity.
Yeah.
It is the steadfast promise that after our lives on earth is done, we will live together with the Lord in eternity.
Yeah.
Glory.
Yeah.
It is hinged on the resurrection of Jesus. Can you say after me? It is anchored it is hinged on the resurrection of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Glory! You know, Old English says lively hope. If you read NLT or New Living, it says New King James. It says into a living hope. It's a hope that makes sense. It's not a dead hope. It's not wishful thinking. Are you getting this? So because he rose, okay, see this. We are sure that we have eternity with the Lord. He's the only one that can explain to us the real thing that happened there. Are you with me? Because he died and rose again. So he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So that is the one that can tell you, I am the way, and you will believe in. Every other religious teacher, they died and never woke up. They are still there. Are you with me? We don't know whether they are living or dead in the afterlife. We don't know whether they are Abraham's servants or... We don't know what they are. We don't know whether they are in heaven or in Hades or in hell. We don't know. But our own died and rose again. So because he died and rose again, when he tells you about eternity, listen! Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes my hope is alive.
My hope is alive.
1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. That's the next verse. It says, he has begotten us again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. See, hey, we are living in a world that no matter how great a thing is, time will make it fade.
Yes, sir.
Time will make it fade. No matter how great a man is, time will make it fade. But when you stir up something there, when you get the inheritance that God offers you in heaven, see, it cannot fade away. It is incorruptible. It cannot be defiled. Are you with me?
Yes,
that does not fade away. Reserved in heaven for you. Chapter means reserved in heaven for me. Now, the next thing I'm going to do is to show you how this living hope was a major subject of the early apostles and the gospel that they preached. Remember I said it's Bible study, right? It is part and parcel of the gospel that Christ offered and the apostles preached. Let me tell you something. When you read the Bible and see what they preached, sometimes you have questions. So you have to ask some questions. Are you with me? Look at Colossians chapter 1 from verse 4 to 5. He says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Are you following this? Now, KJV says, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you were heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So they were in that gospel that was being presented. Part of what should have been presented is that you have a hope in heaven.
Yes,
that your life does not end here as a Christian. That when you believe in Jesus, your life does not end on the earthly things. Are you with me?
Yes.
Your life continues to eternity. Let me tell you something here. If this is really true, which it is, because he rose from the dead, we know it is true. Are you with me? One day, I'm going to talk about the danger of bitterness. There is the surface level of it, and there is the mystical level of it. Praise the Lord. Now, look at this. Back to Colossians chapter 1. It says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So he's saying that if you have heard the gospel before, if you have embraced the gospel before, part of the things that should have also entered you is that you know that I have a living hope. I have the hope that after this life, I will live forever. After this life, my life does not end there. I continue with the Lord forever. Are you getting this? Say that, may I continue with the Lord forever. Glory. And remember, we said it is based or it is hinged on the resurrection of Jesus. You know, let me just drop this here, because they may ask you. Somebody may say, how is the resurrection of Jesus Christ special? There are people in the Bible that rose up from the dead. And even in contemporary times, there are some people that actually died, and were prayed for and came back to life. So how does that make Jesus special? Well, he rose from the dead never to die again. Every other person that rose from the dead will die again. They died. Lazarus died. Are you getting this? So, because he rose from the dead never to die again, he showed that he defeated death. Are you with me? He showed that he was the first man to have victory over death. That means anyone who believes in him also has the possibility, are you with me, of living above death. So there are some people that will never see death. When Christ comes and they are taken with him, they will not see death. Are you getting this? He gave a new possibility for men to live forever. So, just the same way he rose from the dead and lives forever, we will rise again and live forever. Now, somebody may say, Pastor, so why are Christians still going to die? Because their body came from Adam. And let me explain this. You see, before I explain that, since it has come, let me explain it now. The sin of Adam affected his spirit, his soul, and his body. Are you with me? When Adam sinned, the first part of him that received the heat or the effects of his treachery or rebellion was the spirit. And it was manifested in the nakedness that happened to him and Eve, right? But as time went on, their soul became corrupted, as was manifested in Cain. Nobody taught Cain to kill. Cain was taught by the new nature to kill. Are you getting this?
Yes.
So his soul had been retrained by darkness. And eventually his body died. So his spirit died, his soul died, his body eventually died. Are you getting that? So, but in Christ's redemptive work, your spirit is saved. Your soul is being saved by the church by retraining. Are you getting this? And your body will be saved at the rapture. So you see, the redemptive work of Christ must completely undo all the works of darkness from the first Adam. Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
That's why this thing is part of the gospel that Christ offered. I know we cannot preach all of this to the unbelievers, because you see, we preach the gospel to unbelievers to be saved, but we teach the gospel to believers to be grown. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 13. It says, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Hey! The child of God in biblical terms does not die. He goes to sleep. I know you lost a family member. If he was born again, he's sleeping. Are you getting this? He's sleeping. And our hope is sure and steadfast that he will wake up again because Christ arose. Are you getting this? Oh, you lost mommy, you lost daddy. If they were born again, they are sleeping. Oh. He says, but I will not have ignorant brethren concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You see that? So they are hopeless. Once they die, that's it. Verse 14, it says,
Everybody read verse 14. 1, 2, 3, go. I'm not convinced. 1, 2, 3, go. Died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that construct there? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also will sleep in Jesus. Hey, sometimes I will sleep in Jesus. So. If Christ tarries, I will sleep in Jesus. Now, let me show you more scriptures. Still to buttress that is what the early apostles talked about. Titus chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. Titus. It says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Verse 2, everybody, 1 to 3, go. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Do you remember what we are reading in the book of Hebrews? That by two immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. So, my God. With God that cannot lie. So that means our hope is actually not just built on the fact that God cannot lie. It's built on three things. Number one, he has sworn. His promises in Christ was sealed by an oath. Number two, he has promised. Number three, Jesus rose. But now, look at that same phrase. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. But has in due time manifested his word through preaching. This was the part that got me. That means by just preaching, somebody can enter into a realm where they live forever. See, you have to be careful what you hear. He's telling you that the way human beings will enter into this spiritual reality in Christ Jesus, where they will live forever, it was manifested by preaching. So if I preach the gospel of Christ's saving power and a man embraces it, he can change his eternal future by believing. How much more your earthly life? When a man will hear something, embrace it, and it changes him for eternity. Be careful of what you hear. When you allow all those useless thoughts, I am a failure, I am this, you don't know what you are doing to yourself. Just by believing, you change your eternal future. Hi! That means your believing can change your today. It can change the remaining part of this year. Are you with me? See, after me, 2025 is still my best year. 2025 is my year of divine emergence. 2025 is my year of divine emergence. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. He says, but has in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Amen. Look at same Titus chapter 3. Same Titus chapter 3 from verse 5. I know I'm quite fast, but I am running with the speed of speed. Titus chapter 3 from verse 5. The Bible says, not of works of righteousness which we have done. Please, are you following me to this point? Have you followed me to this point? I hope you are not lost. If you are lost, receive finding now. We are found in Jesus' name. It says, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. Please, can we read? 1, 2, 3, go. Washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Verse 6. Which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 7. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Self that means made inheritors. Do you know what it means to made a heir? That means you inherit it. You have been part of the will has been signed. Are you getting this? When you check the document of those who inherit this property, your name is now there. Are you getting this? So because of
his justification by his grace. Every one of us who has received that work of justification by grace, when we check the list of those who inherit this property called eternal life, our names are there.
Yes, sir.
Some of them have been made an inheritor.
Have been made
a heir
of the hope of eternal life.
Glory. One more before I go on. Second Timothy. You know, I just felt somebody say, Pastor, true, don't catch us. All of us, you know, you read Bible. All the Bible you've not read in throughout the month of April, today, being the last day, you will read it. You read it in this midweek service. Glory to God.
Glory,
glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory.
Second Timothy chapter 1 from verse 8. I like this one. 2 Timothy 1 verse 8. He says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. Now, did you also notice that in Titus, he said not according to our works? Are you not noticing that? That's also another theme in the gospel. Let me see if I can do it on Sunday. Not of works. That's another emphasis. It's another color gradient in the gospel. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. Verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Read this thing. Let us celebrate. 1, 2, 3, go. Manifest. A parent of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, hey, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He has abolished death and has brought life and immortality. When I watch Doctor Strange and they are talking about immortality, I don't know what they are looking for. They can't get it. Do you understand? It is only manifest when the Son of God was made manifest. He brought other possibility. Are you getting this?
Yeah.
You know, even the films you watch, when Endgame, they're looking for the time stone. The Ogali stone, there is only one stone that you can get that thing from. It's called the Rock of Salvation. That is the ultimate stone. Leave power stone, leave time stone, leave... are you with me?
Yeah.
Leave tombstone. Oh my God. There's only one stone. You don't need all those plenty stones. There's one. You are looking for power stone. Jesus is the wisdom and the power of God. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. He has brought life and immortality to life. He has brought life and immortality to life. That means I will live forever. I will live forever. You know that song that Akon used to sing? Forever young, I wanna be. That is a prayer that can only be answered in Christ. Are you getting me? He has brought life and immortality. He has brought life and immortality. Glory! Hey! And guess what? It is by the gospel. By the gospel. So quickly, because of our time. What does our eternal inheritance contain? Number one, resurrection of life. Number two, I'll list them out and then we'll go into them. And after that, we'll talk about the consequences of this eternal hope. And we close from there. What does the eternal inheritance contain? Resurrection of life. Number two, a new body. Number three, assurance of heaven and the heavenly life. Assurance of heaven and the heavenly life. And finally, eternal fellowship with God. Of course, if you are spending life in heaven, it's eternal fellowship with God. But I just broke it down to make it as clear as 7-Up. Sorry, as clear can be. Praise the Lord. So what do I mean by resurrection? See, now, the reason why I said the resurrection of life is because Jesus differentiated it. Everybody who dies, whether they are saved or not saved, they will live forever. But some will live forever in damnation. Are you getting this? But we are going to resurrect to life, not to damnation. Are you getting this? Acts chapter 4 from verse 1 to 2. It was part of the things that they persecuted the apostles for. The Bible says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees. Okay, as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Are you seeing this? Resurrection. I've taught this before, but because of maybe our online viewers who be viewing for the first time, John 5 verse 24 to 25. John 5 verse 24 to 25. John 5 verse 24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Oh, wait, I think I'm ahead of myself. Let me start from verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Glory to God. Verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Jesus is telling that there is something happening right now, that the dead can hear the voice of the Son of God, and the ones that choose to hear will live. But if you look at verse 28, he says, marvel not at this. He says, the hour is coming, and you not see, and now is. Do you notice that? The hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. Are you seeing this? And they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. So everybody will rise, but in the context of good, what is good? He that believeth on me has passed from death to life. Remember, so the good in this context is not I don't steal meat, I don't steal pencil. The good in this context is that I believed in the master. Are you getting this? And all those who have done good, they shall come unto the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. So we will have resurrection of life. Amen. Those who are not saved, they will go from fire, from Faipan to fire, or from fire to furnace. Number two, we're going to have a new body. A new body. Remember, we have an inheritance in heaven. That's the first scripture we read. That is undefiled, that faded not. That means, do you know what that means? That means in heaven, your body will not grow old. There will be no old person in terms of somebody who is weak and fragile, who cannot walk well. No. You will be what you can call your prime age. You know, the arguments about this was so serious in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 36. You see, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul was arguing about this resurrection of life and the new body. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 36 says, thou fool, oh my God. 1 Corinthians 15, let's open verse 35. Verse 35. He says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Are you seeing this? Ah! He says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Verse 36. He said, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. The next verse. And what thou sowest, thou sowest not that body that shall be,
But bare grain, it may transfer with or some other grain. What's this saying? Is that when you sow a seed, you are not sowing the body that it will come out with. When you plant mango, the body around the mango is not what is not the same body that it will arise with.
Yes, sir.
Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
It says, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may transfer with or some of other grain. Everybody, verse 38. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. And to every seed his own body. That means when we die spirit on the earth with this physical body, God will give us a new body as it has pleased him. Verse 42. He says, So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Ah, say after me, I will have a new body. Verse 43, it is sown in dishonor. Okay, verse 44, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Do you remember when Christ rose up from the grave? And he said, touch me. For a spirit had not flesh and bones. But guess what? He did not need to open the door to enter. It was a body that they could touch, but it was a spiritual body.
Yeah.
Are you getting me? That's why they touched him, but that body ascended to heaven. It was a body, an actual body, but a spiritual body. Kapuria Kasike. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1 to 5. You know, some of you are saying, but pastor, all these things we are saying, all these things we are saying, we are talking about what will happen. Don't worry. Just stay to the end of this sermon. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1 to 5. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. That was what was happening to Adam and Eve. Oh. That thing they were experiencing before they sinned against God. It was an heavenly body. That all of a sudden when it was taken they were found naked. Are you getting this? In verse 4 it says, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we will be unclothed, meaning not that we will die, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Because of our time, I will jump verse 5. Let me see if I can touch it at the end of the sermon. So we have talked about resurrection of life, a new body, right? Then number 3, assurance of life in heaven. Remember 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 to 5. Blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and hath faded not away, reserved in heaven for you. Do you realize that he never said anything about those who will make it and not make it? He's just saying, all of you who have believed in him and you have been part of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you believe in what he has done, there's a hope reserved in heaven for you. You are assured of this thing. It's not about who will be left behind. Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
Assurance of life in heaven. You remember in 1 Corinthians 15, please help me open it. He said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Do you realize that he keeps using that word all? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. All be changed. That's 1 Corinthians 15. 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So are you seeing that? Look at the level of assurance. All. Can you say that me? All. And I'm part of them. Say it again, all. And I'm part of them. Let me tell you, this hope that God wants us to have, God never wants us to have our walk with him, our view of heaven as something that will be a probability. Remember what we're talking about in Hebrews 6. It says, you should hold fast unto the, unto this work with full assurance. Not half assurance. Full assurance. See what I mean? Full assurance.
Full assurance.
Not half assurance. Now, he says, back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. He says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5, everybody.
Who are kept by the power of God,
through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. See, in salvation, there is one way in, no way out. When you enter, you have been kept, you have been seized by the power of God. Who are kept? Arrested by the power of God. You say, Pastor, what about people that want to commit sin? Why do you keep using extremes to justify the real thing? Or to justify your hate of the real thing? There are so many analogies in the Bible. The Bible says being born again, Abby, not of corruptible seed. What does it mean to be born? I want to ask you, what can my daughter do to no longer be a human being but return back to a sperm? She can injure herself by rough play, but because she has been born, she can never return back to a sperm. Are you getting this?
Yeah.
When you have been born again, you cannot return. If you returned, you never were born. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Philippians 1 verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Do you realize Paul is not talking about himself? Philippians 1 verse 6. He's talking about people. His congregation. Do you know what they are doing in their houses? Do you know who they are? He's telling. What kind of assurance did Paul have? Say after me. My assurance of heaven is secured. Being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Are you with me? I want to read one to you. This, you know, read this Bible. This Bible. Another thing that God should do for you, go to a Bible believing church. A church that prioritizes the Bible. I'm telling you. Have you seen that thing that says, or that preaching that says, the Lord will come like a thief in the night?
Yes, sir.
You don't know. You may miss it like a thief in the night. You don't know. And you will see Christians. Like a thief in the night. Then I saw one verse of the Bible. Hey! Hey! It's sweet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. See, I can see if I have my way, I can close here. But I have to run. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 1. It says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, I have no need that I write unto you. Verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Everybody, verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief.
Yes,
that means for the child of God, Christ does not come like a thief in the night.
Yes,
it will be like a thief in the night for those who are not saved. When they say peace and tranquility, he will come upon them with like sudden destruction. Why is it sudden destruction? Is it because Jesus wants to destroy them? No. They will realize that they missed the first flight. The first and only flight. Because, let me not talk about that. Let me just go on. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. But they are all children of light and children of the day. Should we all read this verse together? Can we read it everywhere you see here? Put we. See, we are all children of light and the children of the day.
We are not of the night nor of darkness. And finally, on this eternal fellowship with God, 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 17, he says, then which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be ever with the Lord. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
What are the consequences of this eternal hope? Number one, it gives our earthly life purpose. When you know that you are preparing for something bigger than what you are doing on earth, you will prepare well. When you know that everything you are doing on this earth is not just for this earth alone, it's going to usher you into eternity, you will prepare well. You know, some people, they can't even find out, what's the purpose of my life? What's life about? Is it to just eat, sleep, wake up, you grow old, you marry, you born children, and you die? No! It seems to me, now I stand to be corrected, the word of God can correct me, but it seems like from the beginning, God always wanted to have a family that will live with him forever, but he did not want it to be by force. So he created men and gave them a choice. The ones that choose in this earth will join him for eternity in that thing he has always wanted from the beginning. Are you getting this? So our pilgrimage on this earth, will determine what our eternity will look like. Remember the parables of Jesus. Out of time, we cannot talk about it. Luke chapter 19. Jesus said, occupy till I come. So all you are doing on this earth is a preparation for what will happen there. Our ministry, our life, our business, or how do you handle your life? You know, some people, they just think, oh, it's only in spiritual things, only spiritual things that God will use to judge our eternity. No, 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 no. The parable told you, occupy till I come. How faithful have you been with your life? How serious have you been with your life? How much of an ambassador were you for Christ with the excellence in your life? How much of it are you carrying into eternity? Can God look at you when you come and says, well done, that good and faithful servant? You know, when you read the story of in Luke chapter 19, he told different servants, you, I give you two cities, three cities. That's how we're going to rule with the Lord, though. The way you handle your life, the way you handle your business, the way you handle your church, the way you handle your commitments, the way you handle your marriage. See, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The hope of eternal life gives purpose to your present life. People just think, I can just wake up and do anything I like. No. When you understand that eternity will ask you what you did with this present life, you will know that all your days count. You cannot just do anything with your life. Are you getting this? Can you say something? My life must count. I will make my life count. You know, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4, it says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. You know, we're looking for, going around looking for a new hall for New Breed Abuja. It was so tasking yesterday. By the time we came back, it's like they beat us. But I remember my labor is not in vain. Oh, it's not in vain. It gives our earthly life purpose. Number two, it gives us a different approach to trials. When you know that the trials of this earth are not forever, how will you approach them? No matter how the tough situation you are facing right now, it will come to an end. Are you getting this? 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12 to 13. I can't read all. I wish I could read all the scriptures. I will try. I'll try. 1 Peter 4 verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Second Corinthians 4 verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13 to 18. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I also spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up Jesus, the Lord Jesus, shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might be to the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not. Though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. No matter the trial you are going through, say that it is for a moment. Say that the trials of this world are for a moment. It will pass away shortly. I have the hope of eternal life. Some of you are not talking. It will pass away shortly. Glory. Number three, the hope of eternal life imparts a greater devotion to God. When you know that you will give account to God for your life on the earth in eternity, how will you live your life on the earth? What kind of devotion will you have, knowing that, think about it, that every day you have an opportunity to invest into a spiritual saving. Are you with me? Look at it like every day you wake up, you have an opportunity to make an investment into your eternity that will never fade away. See, when you invest into your bank account or put money in your bank account on the earth, it can be depleted. It can fade. Are you getting this? But when you invest into eternity, it will be there for eternity. Your giving, your sacrifice, your soul winning, your preaching, your labor, your prayers, your worship. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that the prayers of the saints are not just answered but stored. Meaning it is a precious thing in the sight of God. When you know that everything you do on this earth, your devotion has eternal consequences, it will be different. Greater devotion to God. The way you are handling your Christian life, if you bring it to eternity, what will you have? Your prayer life, the way you pray, the fervency with which you pray, the way you carry your walk with God, if it is stored as a savings, as an investment for you in eternity, will you be poor? Will you be rich? Will you be poor? Will you be rich? Think about it. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 to 3. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse 2. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. I wish we would read. Oh, you know what? Everybody. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Verse 3. And every man that had this hope in him purifies himself. You see that? Every man that had this hope purifies what? Himself. Let me show you one more. And then we go to the final one, which we will dance with. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. 6 verses. 9 to verse 14. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You know, we are not in darkness that he comes on us as a thief. Are you getting this? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which, now pay attention everybody, or you can read with me, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Everybody, verse 11. Then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness. Verse 13. Okay, from verse 12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. You know, when I read verses like this, ask myself, do people read these verses? You know, I read that place, that ye may be found of him in peace, not in pieces. Because by the times of God puts fire on some the works of some people. All your hidden competition, your backbiting, your manipulations, your all those things. Say, I go do one back. All those things. You will be found not just in peace, but in pieces. You will enter heaven, no? But all the rewards have been scattered in pieces. Greater devotion to the Lord. Finally, the hope of eternal life gives substance to our faith. This one, please pay attention. The hope of eternal life is the basis for our faith in this present life. If you understand this, you have understood Christianity and the Christian faith. Because listen, when you get born again, you are automatically catapulted into a new place in heaven. Remember, the Bible says you are seated with him in heavenly places, right? So you are actually catapulted into that eternal experience. But guess what? God wants you to live the eternal experience on the earth right now as a foretaste of what is coming. Remember Hebrews chapter 10, when he says, and he that shall come shall will come and will not tarry. But now the just shall live by faith. Remember Hebrews 10 verse 37. It says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. That eternal life is coming and it will not tarry. But what will you do now? Verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Chapter 11 verse 1 now says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The eternity we are hoping for, God wants us to enforce it right now as a substance. It is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Everything that we have talked about in eternity, God wants you to taste of it now. God wants you to taste of it now. Faith is experiencing in the now the substance of the afterlife. And now that scripture that I did not read that time, it says 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1 to 5, for we know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now jump to verse 5. He says, now he that has wrought, or he that has prepared us for this self same thing is God, who also has given us the earnest of the Spirit, or the down payment of the Spirit. God believes that by the Holy Spirit in your life today, you can taste of what is to come today. So he gave you that Holy Spirit so that by your engagement with the Holy Ghost, you can be tasting of the powers of the age to come. Yes, are you getting this?
Yes,
the reason why we experience healing today, it is the testimony that there is a new body coming.
Yes,
the reason why we experience divine provision today, in heaven there is no bank account, but nobody is poor. There is no bank to tell you how much is left, but the streets are paved with gold.
Yes,
everything that in heaven, nobody is lacking anything. So the concept of prosperity for the believer on this earth is not about amassing, it's about you can never be stranded.
It is
that there is nothing you want to do. There is nothing God has planned for you to do and resources to be the problem. No. God wants you to experience that age in this life right now. So when you can see the hope of eternal life, it gives you what you must emphasize to happen in your life right now. Jump on your feet. It gives substance to our faith.
In heaven, they worship the Lord every day. That's why he wants you to start it now. In heaven, nobody is complaining about anything, so he wants you to start it now. By the time you begin to impose that heavenly life here, you begin to translate all the experiences that you have in heaven. It will be an advertisement to the world that there is a kingdom invisible.
Yes, sir.
Are you getting this?
Yes,
can you say after me, I will experience heaven on earth. I see, the Bible says, ye are of God. Actually, the real terminology for that expression is, you do not belong here, you belong to the kingdom of God. That is where you actually live. And so, if you are here, you have to import heavenly experiences to this place.
Yes,
and so the hope of eternal life makes it clear what you must import here. Sometimes I will import the heavenly life here. That importation of the heavenly life on the earth is going to be your advertisement to everybody in this world that I don't belong to you people. Are you getting this? That was what the hall of faith was. Everybody that they were talking about, they were not natural people. They were all strange people. These people don't belong here. Just as they sign that there is another kingdom that they belong to. And in that kingdom, the impossibility becoming possible is natural. Are you getting this? What we call spiritual gifts is a natural thing in heaven. When Elijah and Moses came to the Mount of Transfiguration, nobody told Peter and all the other disciples that these men were strange men. Just by seeing, they knew, because they came to a new atmosphere.
Yes,
in that atmosphere, knowledge is automatic.
Yes, sir.
I pray for you. From this time henceforth, your life will be imposing the supernatural in the natural.
Amen.
You belong to a different country. You are of God, little children, and overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you.
Yes.
From now henceforth, the hope of eternal life becomes your daily experience.
Amen.
Oh, I cannot hear your amen. The hope of eternal life becomes your daily experience.
Yes.
The hope of eternal life becomes your daily experience.
Yes.